We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Touchdown! Touchdown, Colorado!
From Learfield, this is the CU Buffs Insider. Here's the voice of the Buffaloes, Mark Johnson.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Buffs Insider, our weekly podcast, along with Neil Welk at CUBuffs.com. I'm voice of the Buffs, Mark Johnson. Believe it or not, as this is coming out on Friday, 2 weeks from today, finally, through the longest camp in the history of football, the Colorado Buffaloes will play a game. Is it just me, or does it seem like this camp's gone on forever?
No, it's been a long camp. It's been a long camp. We've been through 3 weeks, and it is literally the longest camp in CU history. This is the first time in modern-day history that they have not had two-a-day practices. It's the first time that they've stretched 29 practices out over more than 29 days. And so, yes, it is the longest camp in CU history. And I think the players are ready. The coaches are not ready. I take that back.
Players, coaches are never ready.
Players are ready to play a game, but they can now see it in the future. It's hanging out there like that carrot.
Do you think the new rules with not having two-a-days? You know, I talked to Shea Fields early this week, and I said, do you think it's helped? He thought it had from not having that much physicality, although he said when we have gone physical, like they did on Wednesday in full pads, he thought it's been a physical camp. Do you think it's helped from a health standpoint? Is it doing what it's supposed to do?
You know, I think from a health standpoint, it certainly is helping to a degree. I think it keeps players a little bit fresher. They're not as tired, and that's when you get hurt, is when you're tired more often than not. So I think it helps in that regard. It's given trainers I've talked to the trainers. They like it. It gives them a little bit more time to address the little bumps and bruises that happen on an everyday basis. I think the thing that coaches are worried about is that mental fatigue.
Right. Because it just it's so long. I mean, you know, a lot of times you get 28 practices, what, about 23 days, right? Mm-hmm. So you have week number one, a little maybe 8-day week, if you will. The next week, you're already looking forward to, boy, next week's game week. This thing ends up being 5 weeks long by the time it's all said and done.
Yeah, it's a 5-week camp, and I think it's, you know, we're talking about 18 to 22-year-old kids here.
Right.
You know, their attention span isn't exactly, you know, built to stretch over that long of a period. And so, yeah, it's hard keeping their attention. I think they're doing a lot of different little things, having meetings at different times of the day. They're having, you know, snacks at night and stuff like that to try and keep their attention, keep them focused, and stretch it out over 5 weeks. It's been a really interesting experiment so far.
I'm sorry. What were you saying? I lost track of my attention span. It's not very long. Sorry. Hey, tonight, the scrimmage is their final scrimmage of three. it's about time they kind of get everything nailed down, don't you think, in terms of the depth chart? Yes. Whatever battles are left at this point in time, we're about ready to get those answers here shortly?
Yeah, I think this Friday night scrimmage is the final, you know, major scrimmage of camp, and this is where the final questions get answered. And I don't think there are a lot of questions left.
Right.
I think they have a really good idea who's going to play where, you know, in what situation, and they have the depth chart pretty much set. But I think if there are still a few places, defensive line, maybe linebacker, that they're still looking at some kids, looking at different combinations, who's going to play against, you know, on third and long, who's going to play on second and short. And I think this is where it gets answered. And this is where the young guys, that's where they get their name out there. That's where they turn coaches' heads, is making a play here.
And there might be a couple of special team situations out there on coverage or kickoff teams or punt teams, that kind of thing. But for the most part, this thing's been settled pretty good. And by the way, we're not that far away, as we are looking for something, that carrot at the end of the stick out there. The luncheon's coming up on Friday, August 25th. Go to cubuffs.com/events. Get your tickets for that. That's always a great event. You and I talked in one of our practice updates earlier this week about, you know, the competition at quarterback. Yes, it's Steven Montez's team, and I thought it was interesting. I asked Mac today if he thought, you know, the experience of Sefolufau and how, you know, he kind of handled himself, which was phenomenal, if that's echoed through this team, and I think it certainly has, and Mac seemed to think the same thing. But being that Steven Montez's team, yeah, there was a competition. Sam Noor, I think, put some heat on him a little bit, but I think you were under the impression that maybe this past week especially, Steven kind of separated himself, kind of elevated his game, don't you?
Yeah, I think Steven took it up a notch this week, and I think he took it up in a lot of different ways. I saw him leading on the field. I saw him talking to players on the sidelines, getting the offensive line ready to go when it was their turn to run out on the field, talking about plays, talking about certain situations, and just taking it up, just another little step, and letting them know that, hey, that game's getting close, and Steven feels it. And I think he feels more and more comfortable in that role. You can't do that overnight. You can't become a leader overnight.
Right.
And I think the players are starting to trust him more and more and more. They know what he can do physically. Now I think they trust him more and more mentally.
And I think I'd be disappointed if he did not do that. If he didn't separate himself and elevate himself a little bit, don't you think?
Oh yeah, no. You want your veteran to do that. I mean, he's the incumbent starter for all intents and purposes, and you want him to create a little separation there. I don't think Sam Noor took a step back in any, you know, by any stretch of the imagination. I think Steven has just settled into it just a little bit more, and you know, is starting to make some plays. Is starting to do a lot of different little things that you saw Sefo do last year, and Steven's also, you know, providing some leadership on the field, moving guys around, saying, hey, you've got to catch that block. You've got to make that catch. You know, they had a player drop a pass in the end zone today in practice, and Steven was right there and said, hey, that's the kind of catch you got to make. We don't get a second chance in a game. You got to make that catch. Something he probably wouldn't have done a year ago, but something he's comfortable doing, and I think the players are accepting it from
him. It's safe to say at some point in 2017, Sam Noor is going to come out and take some snaps with the football team.
Yes.
It's just a part of football. I mean, you know, Steven will get dinged up, even if it's just for a series or something. He's
or
going
they'll
to
be ahead
out
by 30.
Exactly, exactly. So we're going to see him at some point in time on the field for the Buffaloes. Are you comfortable with 15 running out there and running that offense?
Yes, far more than I would have been even in the spring. I think Sam Noor has made a really nice jump, and we talked to Mike about that today again in practice. Like you said, I think Sam learned a great lesson last year from watching Steven Montez. Steven Montez was not ready at Michigan. We all know that. We saw Steven come in and go 0-7 after Sefo got hurt. Steven was the first one to say he wasn't prepared like he should have been. I think that was a valuable lesson for Sam Noor, and I guarantee you that Sam is going to take every snap seriously. He's going to be as prepared as possible heading into this year, because he knows that he is literally, you know, one snap away from walking out there and being the guy.
Well, there aren't many pools deeper than getting thrown into that one, by the way. At the big house, 100,000 people. You're in the middle of a very good football game. And, oh, by the way, hey, rookie, first time you play, guess what? Go out there and do it.
Yeah, right? And that's a shark on the other side of the field there. they've got your number, and they're looking for you.
Do you think maybe, and I thought it was interesting today when Mike was asked about Sam being ready to go out there and play if called upon. I wonder if, because of that experience, if this staff hasn't maybe altered a little bit, making sure that Sam's getting – it's not that Steven didn't get meaningful snaps last year, but maybe emphasizing that for a young guy like Noor, because he might find himself in that situation.
No, I think that was also, you know, it emphasized what Brian Lindgren already knew, but I think he's definitely taking steps this year to make sure that Sam Noor knows how important it is to be ready. I think everybody last year was, well, Sefo's always there. Right. Sefo's been here for forever, it seemed like. So Sefo was always going to be there, and all of a sudden he wasn't. And yep. I think it caught Steven by surprise. And I think, you know, Brian has emphasized very closely, not only just with Sam Norrie, but also with Tyler Lytle, you guys got to be ready. This is a serious time, and it is not that far off. Something can happen. So I think it was a great emphasis, a great learning point from last year.
This is the Buffs Insider with Neil Welk and yours truly, Mark Johnson. Hey, do you know about the Buffs Mobile Fast Pass? Now, it's going to give you exclusive access to limited last-minute ticket deals for the Buffaloes. Now, when an offer is available, you're going to get a text when you sign up for this. You can purchase directly by replying to the text. The faster you reply, the better your seats. Mobile tickets will be sent to your device within seconds. You can find out more. Just go to cubuffs.com/fastpass or by texting Buffs, and here's the number, 201-23. Sign up now and you get a $10 credit on your first purchase. You don't have to go to a ticket window anymore to get the tickets. They'll come right to your phone, Neil.
That's awesome.
This internet thing's going to stick around.
I think it's here to stay.
So check that out. Got a great deal for the Colorado Buffaloes.
I get to ask you a question.
What's that?
I get to ask you a question.
No, I ask the questions. You answer the questions.
I get to ask you a question. You're at practice every day. You're staying out there.
Right.
When you look at this team 2 weeks away, from the game, what are the unknowns or the questions that you still have that they're going to have to that we won't know until they take the field on that Friday night?
Well, yeah, it's the not knowing what we don't know. And what I mean by that is you can't lose the level and the caliber of talent the Buffs did a year ago. Cheetah Awuzie and Tedrick Thompson and Akella Witherspoon and Tupou up front and Jordan Carroll and those kind of guys that are on NFL rosters. And just have somebody, even though what we've seen in practice, they appear to be very talented players. They appear to be guys that can come in and be upper-level players in the Pac-12, but you don't know what you don't know. It's like what we didn't know about Steven Montez last year, right? Well, what's going to happen when that kid, who seems to have all the ability, goes in and starts flinging a ball around, but he's got a bunch of people who are trying to kill him on the other side in front of 100,000 people? We don't know that. And what I've seen, and I'll tell you what, one thing that struck me here, in fact, Thursday was the day that I really noticed it. And you and I have talked about it. You know, this, and Mike has said about that defense a year ago, Neil, that it was the kind of unit that kind of coached itself. It could correct itself midstream because there was so much experience there. They were very vocal. Guys were talking to each other all the time. And we haven't seen that nearly as much this year as we did a year ago. I thought it was interesting on Thursday, and to be honest with you, and you and I stand with Coach Barnett frequently out of practice, Gary's the one that kind of brought our attention to that. And so I've been watching that every day. I thought the last week or so, and in particular Wednesday and Thursday, that defense started talking more.
I think that's a really interesting point because I think Afolabi, Laguda, especially a couple of those guys in the secondary, have really started to take charge a little bit more and be that next coach on the field. Yep. Rick Gamboa is out there being a little bit more vocal. And Rick's not a vocal guy, but I think he realizes that that's has to be his role. And you're right. I think over the last couple of days especially – they've realized that they have to be talking out there. They have to be correcting, as you said, in midstream. They don't have time to go back and work on it on the sidelines. They've got to correct it as the game is progressing, and I think you've seen that.
When Daniel Graham was out here, what, a week or so ago at practice, we stood out there and chatted with him for a while. I asked him about, I said, do defensive guys have to be vocal? And he said, oh, much more so than offensive guys because they're the ones reacting. Mm-hmm. They play on emotion. He said, as an offensive guy, you're in the huddle. You know what you're going to run. You know the route you're going to run. You know the block you've got. Those guys are reacting. He said, defense has got to be much more emotional. And so those guys have to talk more. It's got to be more of a
– it's a recognition. They have to recognize and react.
Right.
They don't know what the play is. Right. They have to recognize, react, and then adjust on the fly. Every play, when they see that formation coming out, they have to be yelling out signals. And that was a big thing with Trey Udofia, the redshirt freshman that's probably going to be the starter at cornerback. In spring ball, he didn't say a word. And they kept telling him, Trey, you got to talk, you got to talk, you got to talk. And he finally, this summer, he started calling signals to Foe back at safety, saying, this is what I'm seeing. And so now they're talking back and forth, and it's been really hard to get him to do that.
Think about what we're talking here. I mean, go back to, here's young Neil Welk, wet behind the ears, fresh out of college, and we were talking about this story on the field the other day. You walk out to Broncos training camp, and there was Dick Cotter standing out there, the legend. You didn't feel comfortable walking up to him and telling him something, did you?
No.
And so my point being, right? And I was the same way, some network broadcaster I ran into. You don't feel comfortable. And that's what these young guys are going through. When you've got Cheetah Awuzie and Akella Witherspoon and Tedrick Thompson and Jordan Carroll and Josh, all these NFL guys or NFL caliber guys out there, those guys, those young fellas like Udofia didn't think about giving orders or barking instruction or telling guys where to be. They were being told that last year. So that's part of the transition we're looking at this
year. Yeah, it is. It's a really important transition, like you said, on defense. They have to be talking out there. They have to tell them, you know, I'm seeing this formation. I've got this guy. You've got that. This is where we're going with this. This is where we're going to be doing in this kind of coverage. And it has to happen in a split second. And they don't have time to call timeout and say, hey, you got that guy and I got this guy. Yeah. Oh, no, wait a minute. So it has to happen quickly. And that has started to come over these last few days, but in these next 2 weeks, it's going to be very important.
Let's change topic here a little bit. We'll go over to the running back side. And this week, it was quite a treat on Wednesday to see Kyle Evans back in the field. And listen, we've talked about the level of that, the intensity or the degree of that injury, a dislocated hip. And I think you're the one that said earlier, they were wondering if he could have a normal life when he had that injury. And yet here he's back in the football field. And although we don't expect to see him in the Rocky Mountain Showdown, it won't be long after that when Kyle Evans could be back.
No, I think that third game of the season, I think you could see Kyle Evans out there taking some snaps. I mean, just he has come back from that injury. Mike McIntyre called him the miracle guy, and that's exactly what it is. When he got hurt, The first concern was, let's make sure that he can have a normal life, that he can come back from this, you know, lead an active life, because a dislocated hip is an atrocious injury. He's not just having an active life. He's back at football practice, you know, and this happened in March.
Stunning.
Mark, if this happens to you and me,
I get hit like that. I look like the Mr. Potato Man. They're picking pieces of me up all over the field, right? This guy's back in the football field all of a sudden. And he brings, when you think about it, Phillip Lindsay, yes. I think Bo Bisharat's going to have some opportunity. But Kyle Evans really fits a unique position within that running back core in terms of the skill set he brings to the table this year.
Yeah, he's a tough guy to tackle.
Right.
And honestly, because you can't see him. I mean, I remember talking to Derek McCartney, and Derek saying, no, it's hard to see him because he can tuck in behind an offensive lineman and he almost disappears. You don't know where he's going. And so he's got great, you know, he's got good quickness, great speed,
balance,
and great balance. And he's incredibly strong. He's incredibly strong for that size. And so he's a hard guy to tackle. And he brings a different element, another part of that punch in the backfield.
Yeah, great to see him back out there. You could kind of feel on Wednesday when number 21 was back out there. It was a full pad day. And we're going, like we talked about, the kind of the dog days of this thing. That gave him a spark out there, I thought, a little bit.
Yeah, it did. You could tell. Players love him. I mean, he's a kid that came in as a walk-on, was awarded a scholarship last year. He's one of the favorite guys. Everybody on the team loves him. He works his tail off. Great work ethic, great attitude all the time. Has come up from the bottom of the depth chart to last year where he was the second leading rusher, you know, out of the backfield. And so he provides that spark that a lot of guys like and admire.
Good stuff. Are we getting any answers in the whole kicking game? Is James Stefano, is it his job? Do you think there's still some doubt left?
You know, I think there's still some competition there between James Stefano and Chris Graham. I know they like Stefano's power in his leg. They like the way it gets up off the ground in a hurry. It's going to be hard to block one of his kicks. Still, there's consistency there. I mean, this is a guy that has not kicked against a live rush ever.
Right.
I mean, he was a soccer player.
Yeah.
So they're still working on that, you know, a lot, but they like his leg strength. Chris Graham has improved dramatically, so I think there's still a battle there. Alex Kinney, as far as punting goes, is having a great year. Alex is having as good a camp as I've seen in his 3 years here.
There seems to be a sense in talking with certainly the staff that the inconsistency special teams-wise, and I'm not talking just kicking. I'm talking about in coverage and kickoffs and punt coverage, that kind of thing. Is going to be more consistent this year with some of the changes Mike's made from a staff standpoint.
Yeah, I think there's two big parts of that. Number one, Ross Ells came in, and he's got a special teams background. That's been, you know, he's coached special teams a lot of places. He's helped organize and did a little reorganization, and they're practicing a lot more. They've done probably more special teams in the first 3 weeks of camp than they ever did in the first 3 weeks before, and so they're you know, putting a lot more emphasis on it. The second part of it is they've just got better athletes doing it.
Right.
You know, Mark, you know, two, three, 4 years ago, they were using walk-ons on special teams because they didn't have a lot of depth on this squad. Yeah. I mean, they just didn't have a lot of depth. Now they're able to put good athletes on special teams, and that makes a difference when you're covering a kickoff. If you've got a guy that was a walk-on or a guy that's a, you know, 3-4-star kid who can run a 4-5-40, it's a big difference. And so they've got better athletes playing their special teams. They're putting more emphasis on it. I expect to see, you know, a solid improvement in every area this year.
Well, you'd have to think, well, you've got great athletes. A lot of depth at wide receiver. A lot of those wide receivers end up as gunners on the outside and helping in coverage. So that's going to be, I think, a big improvement. How about the fact that here we sit here on a Friday as our podcast comes out. What is it? 8 days until the Rams play. The Buffaloes are 2 weeks away from their ball game. What side of the argument are you on with this whole deal about it, what that means in terms of the Rocky Mountain Showdown?
I think it's 50-50. I think you can argue, you know, both ways that it's good for both teams. Certainly, I know Mike Bobo at CSU. I talked to him a couple of weeks ago. He likes the idea of playing first.
Right.
Mike's an old-time football guy. He loves the idea that he's going to play a good team, a Pac-12 team, with Pac-12 speed and strength in the opener. He says, he told me, he says, Neil, that's going to give us a chance to strain a little bit out there. We're going to go out there. We're going to have to strain to play those guys. So when we see the Buffaloes, then, you know, we're going to have to strain again.
If you shut you, well, you can't see because this is a recording, but is it Neil Welk or Mike Bobo? I don't know. It sounds so much like Coach Bobo.
And the flip side of it is they have to show their cards in that game, Mark.
Right.
That's Oregon State. That's a Pac-12 team.
Yeah.
Much improved Pac-12 team.
It's not going to be a vanilla game plan.
No, they have to come out and play every card in their deck to win that game.
Right.
Colorado's going to get to see every card in that deck. They're going to know personnel schemes. They're going to know tendencies. They're going to know situations. All those things, they're going to be able to study it. So take your choice. What do you think's the best?
I did think it was interesting. Mike McIntyre was asked about that, one of his post-practice scrums here the other day, and he said, I wish I would have known we would have scheduled a zero-week game as well.
Yeah, I think you know, Mike doesn't like the idea of them playing first and getting those mistakes out of the way. First game mistakes are legendary. That's when you jump off sides. That's when you have special teams problems. All those things pop up in that first game. CSU will get those out of the way. And so that's an advantage for CSU. They'll have game speed under their belts. Colorado won't. Hopefully that gets out of the way for Colorado very quickly. You know, hopefully after the first couple of series of plays, everything's equal.
Well, Chad Brown told me one time, the first time you go out there and get socked right in the nose, everything becomes very clear after that, right? That's what all the mistakes. Now we're running to play, so we'll see. That should happen pretty quickly. Hey, let's shift gears here a little bit away from football. The CU basketball team is in Italy. By the time you hear this, I can't do the math in terms of the time change in my head. They may or may not have played a game by then. But they're right around the time that this is coming out, they're going to have their first game. Good experience for a team with 9 newcomers for Tad Boyle over in Italy right now.
This, you could not have timed this more perfectly for the basketball team. They've got 9 guys that have never played a minute for Colorado. This is a great, not just bonding experience, but team chemistry. Also, just getting them used to that system, used to the way that Tad Boyle wants them to play.
Right.
And what is it, rebounding and defense?
Yeah, he mentions that every once in a while.
He does say that. Yeah. This is really being, you know, drilled into them on this trip, and I think it's a great, great opportunity.
Keep your tabs on CUBuffs.com and all the different platforms of social media. We'll have all kinds of coverage from the games over in Rome and around Italy for the team. I said that Tad, right before they left, who are you playing? And he said, I have no idea. So he did.
Somebody will be there.
Right. He did go on to say, this trip's more about the Buffaloes than it is about who we're playing.
Yeah, he's not doing a lot of in-depth scouting on this trip.
That's some pretty good stuff there. Hey, also, soccer has got camp almost wrapped up. They've got, in fact, their first game coming up on Friday.
Soccer opens up Friday up at CSU, and then they have their home opener Sunday afternoon at Prenup Field, 3:30. Right. It's the third game of a triple header. They play Colorado College, part of that Colorado Cup. Again, 3:30 on Sunday at Prenup.
All right. And volleyball continues. They've been working out this week down in the Springs. They've got their opener coming up shortly as well.
Yeah, they've got their opener coming up. But they also, if you want to get a look at the volleyball team, Saturday afternoon, they've got an open scrimmage at Coors Event Center. Starts at 3 o'clock. Really a good chance to go see Jesse Mahoney's team and see what they're building up toward this year.
Well, we're going to let Neil go. In fact, speaking of soccer, Taylor Kornegak earlier this week named a preseason All-American. And we'll shift over to the other microphone over there. Taylor's joining us. And Taylor, that's a great honor. What does that mean, that feather in the cap for you?
Well, I feel honored to be selected out of all the other D1 athletes out there. So as a freshman being second team, it's a pretty nice honor.
Also, by the way, a preseason watch list for the Hermann Trophy. That's kind of the soccer Heisman, if you will. You had yourself a busy offseason, didn't you? Here, most college students are, you know, they're messing around, maybe have a part-time job. You're up playing soccer around the world. Tell us what you're up to.
Well, first I went to the Czech Republic with the U19 women's national team, and we ended up playing the U19 Czech Republic team and the full women's Olympic team, and we tied the U19 team and lost the full women's national team, obviously. And then I went up to England, and we ended up beating the U20s both times.
Wow.
And then we flew to Germany and won and lost against their 20s.
When you play against an Olympic team, so now it's the best of the best. You play maybe the best conference in America in the Pac-12. You played a very high level internationally. But when you play that level, what does it teach you about the game of soccer and maybe what you need to become as a player?
Well, it's a lot faster, mm-hmm. and it just teaches me how to make quicker decisions, and it's just a good test to my ability as a player.
So do you think you can say at this point, because of that experience, you're a better player this year?
Yeah, definitely.
How have you improved, do you think?
Just by, as I said, quicker decisions. Like, mm-hmm. you also need really fast decisions, even in the Pac-12, and just by playing that full team, it really taught me, especially at attacking mid, you need to find those open players really quick so we can score.
That's a lot of soccer. Do you ever get tired of playing soccer? Or is that just such a love in your life that you never get tired of it?
No, I never get tired of it.
How about this camp, though? I mean, camp can be kind of strenuous at times and obviously be very taxing. How's camping going for the Buffaloes?
It's really tough. We went up to Vail and we did a little running because it's a little higher elevation. We're just all working hard, and the freshmen are really coming together nice with our team, and it's just really exciting. Can't wait for the next season.
That Danny Sanchez can be a taskmaster, can't he? I mean, he just drives you guys like crazy.
Yeah, he does.
Oh, no, don't say anything about your coach now. Be careful about that. Hey, how about the season opener? Big game to start things off. You got to go up to Fort Collins. You play rival Colorado State on Friday. How about that matchup? That's kind of a big game to start off with, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Well, they have a game under their belt, so it should be a test to us. It's our first game coming out, and I know we got kind of the starting lineup going, and we got a couple of freshmen in there, so hopefully they can gel with our team.
All right, looking forward to the season and the first game this weekend. Good luck.
Thank you.
Well, that'll do it for this week's Buffs Insider. For Neil Welk and Taylor Korniak, I'm Mark Johnson. We'll talk to you next time.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of plan investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.